What is up, and welcome to the Pasta Physique Podcast, a place where we give you the tools to align your body, mind, and soul so you can create a life you're obsessed with.
We're your hosts, Jen and James, and we manifested our dream life here in Italy, where we eat pasta, lift weights, swim in the sea, and enjoy wine with dinner. It's all about balance.
We are on a mission to help you feel empowered to take messy action on your journey. Want to join us? Let's dive right in. What is up? Welcome back to the podcast.
Super excited for the episode today because, Jen, you're living out a little bit of a fantasy here. Tell them about it.
Yeah, so like for all my other millennial girls who like used to eat up like 17 magazine or like Cosmo and like the advice column, like that's what we're doing today is the very first Pasta Physique advice episode. So if you guys love it, you'll have to let us know and we'll do another one. But basically, I put a question box up on my Instagram story. If you're not following me, hop on over there. It's fun at Jen O Street. James is at Street Fit Roma. You can find our handles in the show notes. And we got quite a few questions and we're going to talk about a few of them today.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I never read any of those magazines growing up, but we did watch The Bold Type and I'm really excited about that because I love that show. So let's do this.
All right. So the first question that we got was, how do I get back on track? And I can only assume based off of the fact that we are like fitness mindset health coaches, mm-hmm. that getting back on track in terms of like your wellness journey. So we'll talk about it with that lens. If that's not what you meant, I'm sorry, but
yeah, we're running with it.
That's what we're going to go with.
We're running with it. What are you, a train? Like there is no track here. There is no track. This is life. And you don't get off of life and back on life. Life is the mainstay. Like life is life. Do you know what I mean, Jen?
This is something I work on all of the time with my one-on-one clients is, for example, they'll go away for the weekend, they'll travel, and they're like, okay, I got to get back on track on Monday. And my response to that always is you are never off track. Like life is the track. There will be ebbs and flows and ups and downs and trips and sickness and injuries and parties and vacations and good days and bad days. And that is the track.
One of my favorite things to say to clients, and I really love this, and it's a very simple saying, life happens. Life happens every single day. Life happens every single day in a way that we cannot predict. So I think part of the whole getting out of that mentality of getting back on track or I've fallen off the wagon or something along those lines is to just understand that life happens and it is unpredictable. And just by accepting that fact, acknowledging it, I feel like it puts you in control.
Yeah, and it takes some pressure off. And I think a lot of the women that I've worked with have finally said, like they've said to me, like, I'm finally taking this leap because I'm tired of being on and off the track. And once we start working together and they realize that they can maintain a healthy lifestyle that feels like really pleasurable and really good without the guilt of starting again on Monday, the success that comes from that mindset shift is so, so huge. I'm talking like waking up on Monday, feeling excited. I'm talking about coming back from a vacation and doing like a little reset, which is always good for the, like, it's good to get out and switch up your environment. But I had a client who just came home from a long weekend and she's like, oh my God, normally I come home and I'm just like, I'm coming off of, you know, eating differently than I normally do, sleeping differently than I normally do. And it takes me like over a week to quote unquote, get back on track. And she's like, I literally just picked up right back in my routine. Like I ate a nourishing meal that made me feel really good. I went back to bed early at my normal time. Like nothing had happened. And to me, that is goals. Like that is health to me. Like you can't have one without the other.
I think there's a common idea here when this concept is brought up about falling off track. Is it that, let me see how to put this, that your new healthy habits are not yet part of your lifestyle?
Yeah, like it's something almost like a jacket.
They're like things that
like
you're
doing. Like you put your healthy jacket on, mm-hmm. when it's time and then you go on vacation.
Take it off.
Yep, and then you can't find it when you get home. Exactly. That's a great analogy.
But that's not really what's happening here. It's that you've been adapting these healthy behaviors and you have not yet made them a consistent part of your life. You have not made them a lifestyle yet. And I think maybe that's another reframe around this, is if you feel like you're getting off track or getting on track, it's not that you're doing bad and you need to do better. Maybe it's just you need to do more of those things on a consistent basis. You know, we talk a lot about...
And maybe it's not more of, it could be creating less resistance to.
Could be, just being more open to it.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about patterns, and I'm a firm believer in consistency and creating patterns. And by doing something repeatedly over and over again, it becomes automatic. You do it without thinking. And when you can do these things, for example, let's say exercise. If you can exercise without having to think about it, without having to consistently force yourself to do it, you've just accepted it's part of my life. It's part of my life that I want. It's part of my life that I enjoy. It's part of my life that I need, right? If you can accept that through the consistency of doing it, then that has become part of your lifestyle. It's part of you, literally part of you.
Like, it doesn't change when you go away for the weekend.
No.
Now, I will say, getting back on track, like, we do want to start to remove that language from our vocabulary. I will say, and I like to do this, is have a reset. And I think a reset is different than getting back on track. Like, let's think about January 1st, for example, like that new year energy where it's like fresh and you
were fire.
Yeah. Like, or spring cleaning when you change your wardrobe, when you kind of get the whole house clean and airy. I do think there's a time and a place for a reset when you're like, okay, let me actually sit down, reflect on my habits, reflect on my rituals, my routines, what's going well, what's not going well. Where do I have room for growth? What can I take away? I think that, to me, is critical and important and something I would recommend doing like at the start of every month, honestly. Mm-hmm. But that's different than getting back on track. That's more so evaluating what's going well and where can I do a little reset to keep up my energy.
Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what is my version of getting back on track? And, you know, Jen and I have talked in the past about me being more masculine energy and she's more feminine energy, which has nothing to do with, you know, male, female. It's just the type of energy. And in my mind, I say, get back to the grind. And for me, what that means is it's not that I've stopped doing good things altogether.
You're resetting.
Yeah. It's that, you know, maybe I had to tone down the intensity of what I'm doing or the frequency of what I'm doing. Doesn't mean I've stopped it altogether and I need to completely restart. It just means I've kind of taken it back a few steps, you know, a few notches, and I'm preparing to ratchet things back up, to bring them back up to the level that I'm ready for now.
And I think that goes like what we said earlier, and clearly we could have done a whole episode on this topic.
Yeah, obviously.
is that life ebbs and flows. So understanding the season that you're in, if you're thinking about your exercise, go back and find the episode of working out versus training. That might give you some clarity on this question. But overall, I would say really a good activity for you to do for your next steps would be to assess in this moment what is giving you energy. So what is an energy giver? Make a list. What is an energy taker? Make a list and then evaluate from there. And then if you need more support from that, hit us up because this is exactly what we do.
Yeah. And the point that Jen gave there is beautiful. Especially notice if the things that give you energy is a list that's significantly longer or shorter than the things that take away your energy. Just something to notice, something to be aware of.
Yeah. Okay. Question number two. What difficulties did you experience in starting a business in another country and how did you overcome it?
I'm going to skip to the second part. How did you overcome it? And I would say that we have still not overcome those difficulties because, listen, Italy is famous for a lot of things, okay? The food, the people, the cafe, that you name it, Italy's famous for it. The beautiful country, the beaches, everything. But you know, Italy is also famous for the bureaucracy.
Yeah, it's not great. And navigating that in a language that is not our native language, that we're proficient, but we're not fluent,
mm-hmm.
is a challenge. So honestly, and it was a challenge that held us up. I mean, this idea that we've had to start a business has been on our minds and on our hearts for quite some
time.
Long
time, yeah.
And I really honestly thought that we were crazy when we decided to do it here in Italy, just because I know simple tasks are so hard, let alone running a business. But I will say this is a testament to just how much we love what we do and we love the clients that we work with, because mm-hmm. once we sort of like really got some clarity, we knew we wanted to do something in the wellness industry. We knew we had a different perspective that we wanted to bring to the world, mm-hmm. meaning that your wellness journey can be fun. It can be enjoyable. You can have success at it.
Yeah, it's yours. It's not anyone else's. It's yours.
Eating pizza or pasta.
And enjoying life.
Exactly. And so that is something that we really felt so, so strongly about. And once we got some clarity as to what business model, in the sense that we do one-on-one online wellness coaching. So we have clients all over the world, which is, again, such a beautiful, beautiful thing that I'm so grateful for the internet for. But once we got some clarity on that, it's like, how can we not do this?
Mm-hmm. If I would say, and this goes for anything in your life, when you are looking to start something new, or you find that you have a passion that you want to pursue, I highly recommend putting a phenomenal team around you, mm-hmm. finding support, people that can support you in what it is that you want to achieve, because we wouldn't be able to do this without, you know, like our lawyer, our commercialista, which is
like our business coaches that got us started. Like
our accountant, that's a commercialista, couldn't think of it. These things are so important because they have the critical knowledge that we need that we did not have, and we still don't have all of it. But if you are someone that's looking to get on your wellness journey, like, things are sometimes difficult to do all by yourself. Like,
yeah, don't be afraid to invest. And this is something that I've really been working through, is like my money mindset. And I've heard from my own business coaches saying, like, starting a business, becoming entrepreneurs is like one of the biggest healing journeys, because it really unpacks and unearths your triggers, your vulnerability, what it is that you are uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really putting yourself out there. And when you feel so passionately about it, it's like you are putting yourself up for rejection. And there's so much trust that has had to come into this process because of that. And I think that when we decided to do this, because we've, like I said, we've been talking about this for years, when we decided to actually invest and say, like, okay, listen, could we have looked up on the internet, the wonderful internet, how to start a business in Italy? Yeah. Did we? Yup. Mm-hmm. Did it give us any answers?
No. In theory, yes. But, you know, there's theory.
It really like pointed us in the direction more like, okay, this is something we need to know. But it was kind of like the what we needed to mm-hmm. know, not like how we needed to do it.
It's kind of like everyone knows you should exercise, but then how do you do it?
What in a way really that works for you.
Yeah. So, you know, information is nuanced, right? You can get a piece of information and it might be something that applies to you, but that doesn't mean you know how to apply it. Something to think about.
Yeah. So ultimately, I would say we haven't overcome the difficulties because we face them like day in and day out.
Daily.
There's like a new surprise of like, oh, we need to pay this, or oh, we need to use this type of invoicing.
Taxes get you. I'm telling you, taxes get you.
But we're so grateful for
the opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be able to, you know, spread the wellness.
Yeah. Yeah. And to do it here in Italy too, because, you know, Jen and I don't make any like secrets about it. We love Italy.
Yeah, we really do.
Honestly, Italy has really transformed a lot of our thoughts on wellness. So if we were to not have moved here and opened up the same business in America,
I think our perspective would be totally different.
It would be totally different. And I don't think it would be as accessible for everyone.
Which I think is why I feel so passionately about it, because mm-hmm. my mindset around health and wellness has changed so much. I mean, I've been in the health and wellness industry for over a decade now, but I would say the most transformative period has been the past 5 years that we've been here.
Without a doubt.
And that's why I feel so passionately about sharing that message and making that message accessible to so many other women.
So we're very grateful for Italy because of that. And that's why we continue to deal with the bureaucracy.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. I want to start going to the gym, but I get nervous. How can I feel more confident? Oh, I love this question.
Me too. Okay, I love this question. My brain is running wild right now.
Because first of all, ladies, the weight room belongs to you just as much as it belongs to the men. I cannot tell you, I started weightlifting in 2012. No, probably a little bit really in high school as a soccer player. So I've kind of always been used to the weight room. I've never been afraid of the weight room. But I cannot tell you for years and years and years, even today here in Italy, I am often the only woman in the weight room. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, a lot of times, yes.
So like you belong in the weight room. Mm-hmm. Like, let me just start with that invitation.
I want to piggyback off of that, okay? And I want to say, not only do you belong in the weight room, like, you know, we're big advocates of strength training, okay? But people in the gym, okay? Over 90% of all the people are, for the most part, only worried about themselves.
Yeah.
And we do work primarily with women. And if you do feel like someone is kind of being a little creepy, like, let the people know that are working at the gym, number one. But to go back to, you know, next time you're in the gym, find the biggest, strongest individual in there. And it's funny because if you look and you notice, let's say that they're at the squat rack and they have ridiculous large amount of weight on the barbell. After they finish their set, they're gonna kind of look around and see who's looking at them.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's just worried about what they're doing.
Yeah, but they're worried about what they're doing. But even that insanely strong person that's been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years that is an expert at strength training still wants to see who's looking at them. Like everyone.
In the sense like that they're putting on a show.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Everyone, don't think that you're the only person that is concerned with what others are thinking. Because even that big, strong individual is thinking, hey, who thinks I'm strong?
Yeah.
I'm strong. Look at me. You know, and really the only person that's not going to do that is the tactician. The person that goes into the gym and just has everything in their head and they go to work. It's like a science project.
I think that's you.
I get into this role a bit. Yeah, I get very intense
James gets
on my face.
Such a mean look on his face. I'm like, because for me, like, and this is total side note, but like, I'm like, okay, if we're going to make friends in Italy, where are we going to do that? In America, all of our friends, for the most part, aside from like our long-term friends, were friends that we had in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Here, not so much because James just looks like mean mugging big time, but it's his like focus face.
Yeah. I mean, I go to the gym to put in work, you know what I mean? And I'm not concerned about what anyone else is doing.
And to come back, I do want to validate the fact that you feel nervous. Like even I do feel nervous when I go into a new gym, because again, you're doing something, weightlifting, strength training, cardio, whatever it is that you're doing, it shows your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why it can feel so scary, because it puts your weakness on the table, not in the sense that you're weak, but in the sense that you are going there to be stronger. Mm-hmm. So it is something that you're working towards, and it's a very vulnerable position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The way I have a couple tips on how to handle that. The first one that I would say is number one, don't be afraid to talk to the gym staff. And I say that as a former gym staff member of like, both big box gyms and small private gyms, like don't be afraid to ask for help.
People want to help.
Yeah, from either somebody who works at the gym or somebody who seems to have a really strong understanding of what they're doing, even if it's just like, how does this machine work? Mm-hmm. Or can you help me get this spot? But at the same time, also, it's okay if someone's offering you like unsolicited help to just kind of shrug it off and keep moving.
You can take it with a grain of salt. And or it can also be something that is really profound and something that clicks for you.
So tip number one, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Another tip for you is confidence comes when we know what we're doing. And if you're new to the gym or you're new to strength training, you might not necessarily know exactly what you're doing. But if you go in there with a plan, that takes out so much of the guesswork. It takes out so much of that second guessing that you're going to do, because you're like, okay, I know exactly what exercises I need to do. I know how many of it I need to do, so on and so forth. And then you can just kind of go in there and work. You don't have to think about it.
And this is something I struggled with for a long time, because I thought my plan was like, oh, it's leg day today. That was my plan. So I'd roll up to the gym. It's time for leg day. And I kind of got like, I had a rough idea in my mind of what I wanted to do, but then I would get flustered if like I wanted to use the squat rack and somebody was on the squat rack. So there is some flexibility that you do need to have, but having it mapped out and then having the support, which again, if this is something that you need help with, like please let us know.
Mm-hmm.
But going in with an idea of what you want to do is huge. So I would say ask for help, have a program. Tip number three, don't be afraid to experience the gym before you start.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the gyms that I've been at, the cardio equipment kind of overlooks the weight room in some way. Not every gym, but that's often a format that I see. So don't be afraid to hop on, you know, the treadmill for like 10 minutes and just kind of observe the dynamics of the gym.
Check out the scene a little bit.
And when I say dynamics, what I mean, the more that you spend time in a gym, the more that you understand what's happening in the gym. And a sample dynamic would be, is somebody using multiple locations at once, doing some kind of circuit training, meaning they're using a bench, they're using dumbbells, they're using like a machine, for example, and kind of rotating through? Or do people seem to be using one piece of equipment, doing their entire sets, and then moving on? Because that does impact your workout as well.
Even where things are, where the bathroom is, where the water fountain is, where the cleaning supplies are.
Yeah, please. This is a top. This goes for everybody. I did a TikTok on this. It was like, yeah, I don't get mad about a lot of stuff. I get mad when I see grown adults not cleaning up after themselves in their gym. This is like my biggest pet peeve, I would say. Put your weights back. Put them back.
This is so funny because when Jen's saying this, I thought she was going to go with something else. She says, put your weights back once, you know, clean up for yourself.
And clean up after yourself.
Like, yeah.
Clean up your sweat, people.
Clean the equipment that you just use.
Don't be grody.
Like, I'm a bit of a clean freak. You know what I mean? And like, I go to a bench or a machine and I'm usually cleaning it before I use it. And then again, after. So real quick, and we'll move on to the other ones. But I do want to say, if you're looking for extra confidence, there's no better way to get confidence than if you're looking extra fly.
Yeah.
So if you got some really like dope workout clothes, a nice outfit, something that you feel good in, of course your confidence is going to be higher. You walk into the gym and you feel good. That energy will transfer itself into your workout. So like, look the part, you know, feel good.
And if you really are struggling to get over the nervous energy to the point where it's keeping you from going to the gym, come up with your own alter ego. Come up with your own like hype girl. Come up with your own Beyonce's version of Sasha Fierce. That person likes to go to the gym. They call this the Batman effect in psychology. Basically, that version of you, your alter ego, doesn't mind asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Your alter ego knows exactly who to go to if they have a question. Your alter ego knows exactly what weights go where, whatever.
I think a good way to do this is just, you create an alter ego that's a bit of a badass.
Yeah.
Because it just gives you the excuse to kind of like,
it's not me, it's the alter ego.
Yeah. And she's a badass.
Yeah. So next question is, this isn't a good one. How to navigate conversations with loved ones who aren't enthused you live abroad? And by loved ones here, again, I'm going to assume
family.
We'll talk about it through the lens of family because that would make sense.
Family, friends.
So first, I think we should share our experience with this. So we've been living abroad for 5 years now. We've been living in Italy and we got married in May. We moved in August.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, this is going to be like a kind of a short answer and this is going to sound terrible, but like who gives a shit?
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Because it's not their life to live, it's your life to live. And if you're choosing to live life
the way you want,
I was gonna say, if you're choosing to live life for other people and for other people's expectations of you, like, is that really what you want? And I know it's not always as easy as, you know, who gives a shit. However, what if it is that easy?
Mm-hmm.
What if it can be that easy?
So I'm gonna hit you with a couple of things here. Thing number one, there's two types of people in terms of thoughts and conversations. You have your people that talk about other people, and then you have your people that talk about things, ideas, concepts, stuff like that. If you're that person, or you're surrounded by those people that spend their time talking about other people, who gives a shit, right? Nothing you're going to do is going to impress them the way that you may want it to. Like, you can't be certain in how someone's going to react. So try not to spend your time thinking about that. I know, it's easier said than done. But the second thing, and I have said this to thousands of students and clients that I've worked with, is in your life, you probably only have a handful of people that you genuinely want, appreciate, and consider their opinion. If the person that's giving you their opinion isn't one of those handful of people, then who gives a shit? And even if they are one of those handful of people, you can still appreciate their opinion and then still not give a shit.
And still choose to do what it is that you want to do. And a way to think about that too is, like, if you wouldn't accept, like, if that's not a person that you would typically go to for
advice,
then really who cares? But since we're talking loved ones here and thinking about family, like, obviously I do miss my family. I miss my friends. I know James feels the same. So there are things that when you move abroad, you sacrifice. Like anything, there's like good and bad that come with it. And for us, that's like the fact that we don't get to see the people that we care deeply about very often. And with the global situation of the past few years, like we haven't...
It's been more difficult.
Yeah, we haven't been home in 3 years. And that's tough. Like that is, it is hard. It was with the pandemic, it's been easier to like, it's not like it's our choice. And that kind of like takes some of that like feelings of guilt that do creep in. I mean, there have been like 10 babies born in our closest circle that like we haven't met yet, which is sad for us that we're not part of their life, but it's a sacrifice also that we've made to enrich our own life. And then hopefully down the road, it'll come full circle when we have tons of little nieces and nephews coming to like
visit us
in Italy, and we're offering them an experience that otherwise
they wouldn't necessarily have had.
So there's of course the sacrifices that come with living abroad, but for us, the gems of little moments that we've had in the past 5 years like are why we're still here. Mm-hmm. It outweighs that for us. I would also say it's natural to want support and validation from your loved ones because of how we are wired in the sense that our instinct is to be part of the pack, to be part of the tribe. And that if we are cast away is because you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like that means death.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah. So you're not going to die if you, you know, make a parent mad. And, you know, your parents are doing the best that they are capable of doing. And they might not agree. They might not approve. But you know that you don't have to get their approval to do what it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I think this topic applies to anything that you want to do, any decision that you're looking to make. But, you know, I always talk about people have to have a reasonable amount of selfish in them. Like, if you spend all of your time worrying about other people, pleasing them, doing what they want you to do, like, really, like, think about what kind of life that is. You need to do what makes you happy within reason and across the board, you know, across the board. And when you do things that you want to do that make you a better version of yourself, for instance, moving abroad, the growth that comes from that, you cannot put a price on.
No.
You cannot do it. No. You will not recognize yourself at the end of that journey because your life has changed, which means you have changed. And I think embracing that is part of the total package.
And the people-pleasing thing there, if that strikes a chord with you, for me, it definitely does. But when you're pleasing other people, and that's like your motive is to make sure other people aren't mad at you, it's actually very disempowering for the other people because you are not living in your authentic self. So it's disempowering for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other people, you are not giving them the opportunity to know you or
the real
to,
you.
Yeah, or to perhaps live their own way or maybe hear a message that they need to hear. And in that sense, people pleasing is a bit selfish.
And I'll
not in the good kind of way.
I'll take it one step further here. You having the courage to do something that you really want to do, you don't know the future implications of that. You don't know who else can gain the courage to do something that they really wanted to do
because you did it. Because they saw you do it.
So, you
know. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay. Last question for today's advice episode. And we have another fitness one. I can feel like the fitness vibes that must have been going on. Once you have success, oh, this is the question, by the way. Once you have successfully set up your exercise routine, how do you keep it up? So I'm going to synthesize this into momentum. How do we keep the momentum going?
So from my perspective, I could sum this up really quickly for you. And I want you to think about, you know, we've all seen on TV or have this happen in real life where, you know, you're at the top of a hill. You make a snowball, you roll it down the hill, it picks up more snow, more snow, more snow. And at the bottom of that hill or mountain, it's a lot bigger than it was at the top of the hill. And if you have already successfully established an exercise routine, for the most part, it's going to keep it up on its own. You know, the hard part is establishing
it. Yeah, you're good.
But once it's established, maybe that's when it rolls, you know that? Yeah, you've put in the hard work. Now, ebbs and flows, sometimes things get easier, sometimes things are more difficult, but like embrace that you've put in that work and let it continue to grow. Let it continue to work for you.
It becomes
especially
a little
once you start
addicting.
To see progress.
Not gonna
man,
lie.
Progress
once you
is
start
powerful.
To realize your strength and what you're capable of,
oh,
then it's
yeah.
like,
oh, yeah.
How can I not stop? I would like to offer here thinking about your why. Thinking about why you started, why you established your exercise routine, and then what you can do to, if that's fueling your devotion to the exercise. And I say devotion over dedication, over discipline, because discipline to me has a little bit of a rigid vibe to it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it can be a bit restrictive.
It can come off a bit negative sometimes for people.
Where when we look about it, when we think about it
is good.
From the lens of devotion, which is more loving, which is more like, what is this doing to enhance my life? Why am I devoted to my wellness routine? That gives a different energy to it. Like I choose to maintain I don't even choose anymore. It's just so, it's so ingrained into every fiber of my being that I don't think twice about working out. I don't think twice about exercise, and that's because I'm devoted to my body. It's because I'm devoted to my health. It is my temple. I want to operate at my finest when I am a little old lady walking with James in the park. Like, I am devoted to that. I want to have optimal health. I don't want to put myself in a situation
at the beach. We're gonna be at the
where
seaside.
I'm having to be... What's the word when it's not preventative, but it's like the opposite of preventative? So like what I'm trying to say here is like, you know how down the road you get sick and it's something that you could have prevented and not even sick, but like your body is
less than you haven't maintained it.
Yeah. Like I would rather work towards my optimal health so that I can maintain that for a longer period of time.
Is less than you haven't maintained it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be proactive and preventative so that I don't have to be reactive. That's the word, duh. So that I don't have to be reactive
down
the road.
I realize that she's talking about being proactive.
Undo something that I could have prevented, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
So that I don't have to more than, and there's nothing wrong with having physique goals or having aesthetic goals.
And honestly,
beyond
I'll go ahead and wrap up with this. Like,
aesthetic, that should not be your driving force.
That should be motivation
itself.
To look
good is not enough to keep your exercise routine going. And that helps you keep showing up day after day.
It should be current health and long-term health. Like that, if you can focus on that, wow, what a difference that makes.
Yeah, if you guys liked it, let us know and we'll...
I want to thank you to everyone that put some questions. I know we didn't get to everyone. We picked a select few and went with it. But we will be doing this again because we enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Appreciate you joining us today. Have a good one.
See you next time.